Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the 10-4 Show. My name is Jonathan Carter, and this week in episode 27, we're going to begin taking a look at some of the new features coming along the next version of ADO.NET Data Services. So we know in the first version of ADO.NET Data Services that came along with the .NET Framework 3.5 SP1, there was a lot of functionality that made creating a data-centric service really easy. And this, in turn, enabled clients to consume a lot of this data-centric functionality very easy as well. But as any V1 product, there was things that it didn't include, and there's always ways that it can be better. So in both the service and the client perspective, the next version of ADO.NET Data Services is going to become much more intuitive, much more robust, and kind of fill in a lot of the kind of common usage gaps that customers were having. So in this episode, we're going to take a look at a new feature, namely called server-driven paging, as well as some other paging functionality that makes kind of creating rich client apps that consume a data service much easier. So let's go ahead and just dig into Visual Studio and see how this looks. Okay, so here I've got a project, and it's a e-commerce site, and I've also got a data service, as you can see here. At the moment, it's pretty vanilla. I'm looking against an AdventureWorks Entities, which is an EDM, so I'm using the Entity Framework as my underlying model here, and I've set up an access role to say that the product's entity can be accessed, both lists and single instances. Now let's go ahead and run this, and I want to take a look at a few things that maybe aren't as ideal that you might have experienced when using V1 of the ADO.NET data services. So first things first, when we load this up, it's going to give us a list of all of the entity sets in our model, right? So here we see products, and it's in the Atom Pub format. So if I go up into my URI and request products, so give me all products in the underlying model, it works, and this is great. So the problem with this, though, is that while this works and I'm getting back all this data, I'm arguably getting back a little bit too much data, in that now this is returned to me every single product in my underlying database, which doesn't seem like a bad thing necessarily, but by doing this, we're assuming that clients are going to do the right thing by not requesting all of the products in the database, right? So clients can easily go up to the URI and, using data services query options, they can page this. So I could go up and say, well, you know, actually just give me the top two products, and now I'm only getting back two. And then I can also do paging as well as by saying, and skip five. Right, so we do have paging functionality from the perspective of that I don't have to get back all of the products, but the server really shouldn't be sending back data that it doesn't want to. And we could look at this scenario and easily say, you know, there's hundreds of products in the database, and from a server perspective, if I'm serving this data to a client, I don't want to have to waste bandwidth by sending them every single one for every request. And I don't want to assume that they're going to use the top and skip operators to page the result set that they want, right? Because we all know that assuming that the client will do the right thing is pretty much always a bad assumption. So what we want to do is, wouldn't it be great if there was some way to enforce at the service level that any time a client requested a specific entity set, no matter how many actual instances of that entity there are, they're only going to get back so many. And if they want more, then they can request it. But we want to have that limit so that we don't just continue to kind of waste bandwidth and network traffic for data that might not actually be needed. So this is where a new feature in Storio 1.5 comes into place. So if you were to go out today and download the CTP1 of Data Services 1.5, it will come with a DLL that you'll want to replace with the existing assembly for data services. So right now when you add a data service, there's this assembly system.data.services, and that's what you want. But in this case, because we're working against the CTP, we're going to swap that out for an interim assembly that contains some of the new functionality. So let's go add a reference, go to Browse, and underneath Program Files is a folder called ADO.NET Data Services v1.5 CTP1, and then build bin. So in there, let's grab the Microsoft.data.services assembly. And once we've added that, everything's going to work as is. All the class names and namespaces are identical. The only thing that's changed is there's some additive functionality. So if I go into my initialized service and change this now to a iDataServiceConfiguration2, that's now going to give me access to a couple of extra properties and methods. Now, it's called this for versioning purposes because those using data services v1 still need to have and be able to use data service configuration. So, okay, now let's go in here and say config.setResourceSetPageSize. So what we're going to do is say anytime somebody requests products, I don't care how many products there actually are, I'm only going to actually ever give them 5. So now, let's run this after making that simple change. Go back to our service and request products again. Now remember the last time it gave us this huge list of products that's largely inefficient and not exactly what the customer wants. So I'm going to hit products again and notice here that it gave me 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So it now successfully paged this result set of products, but it did it at the service level, not expecting the client to do the right thing by specifying a top or a skip. Now this is cool because from the service developer's perspective, I'm not wasting bandwidth and network traffic. So I feel good about this. But how does the client now say, well, give me the next 5 and then the next 5, right? Because even though we're limiting them, we don't want to constrain them from being able to get the data they need. Now it's interesting, if you notice this link element that was introduced by specifying the page size, if you see the rel attribute is set to next, so this is letting us know if you want the next set of data from this entity set of products, go to this URI. So you see here there's a new query operation introduced, it's called skip token, and what this is doing is basically just telling the server skip the entity instance with this ID. So if we look at the last entity entry, the product, notice its ID is 709. So by doing this, it's just saying skip 709 and go on to the next one. So if I go up to the URI, I can specify this query string of skip 709, and now notice that my result set starts with 710 and then carries on to give me the next 5. So I can go on and do this as well. And then you can imagine that once the client APIs for data services mature, you'll be able to do this type of thing, this paging through Link and through some of the AJAX APIs as well, right? But this is just seeing it in kind of the raw form. So now this is great in that now we've limited the amount of data that will have the potential of being passed over the network. But the problem exists in that right now as a client, I get this data back and it looks good. I'm only getting back 5 and I can request the next 5. But as a client, I'm probably going to need to know how many is actually in the system on the server. In that, okay, I see 5 products, but how many lie in the database? Is there 200? Is there 500? If I'm going to implement some type of paging UI as a client application, I'm going to need to know that information. And now this is where another feature that comes in with Astoria, with Data Services 1.5, and that is the inline count. So if we go up to our URI, let's clear out the skip token, and I'm going to add on another query operation of inline count equals all pages. And by doing this, notice that the request is still happening vanilla as it was before. I'm still getting back my 5 products. But in addition, I'm getting this new count element that specifies that there are 295 products. So even though I've successfully limited the number of products that the client can see to 5, and I've given them the option of continuing to page to the next set of data, I'm still able to get how many total products exist in the system. Now this is powerful because now I'm getting both the functionality I need as a client, in that I want just the data I need, not a whole huge set, but I'm also not limited because I can build out the paging UI, I can figure out are there hundreds, thousands of products, determine how many pages that I need to display, and so forth and so on. So now you can imagine that if you combined these two features together with the server-driven paging, and the ability of using the new inline count, you can create some pretty cool stuff. So in fact, in this application, and this application was actually demoed in the keynote of WPC today, we have a pretty simple AJAX app that makes use of data services and its paging functionality. So notice here, I have this pretty cool looking app, and it displays different categories, and within those categories, different products. Now if you notice, it only shows eight products at a time, and then within that, it has pages. So I can go on here, I can click page 2, and it gives me page 2. Now if I click on bikes, notice we get bikes, go down here, and now it's able to determine that there are 12 pages. I can click on page 7, and it gives me page 7. So this wouldn't have been very easily possible before. It could have been done. There were definitely ways to do it with V1 of data services. But now, with the 1.5 release and the server-driven paging, I can restrict the data to this client to only what they should need at any given time, but it can still determine how many pages exist, because without that, there's no way this UI right here could have been built out. So really, this is just one pretty small feature that's coming in the next version of ADO.NET Data Services, but it's pretty integral, right? If anyone's been using V1 and trying to do this, you know that this is something that's going to actually make it a lot easier for you to implement kind of data-centric, rich client applications. So once again, I appreciate everyone for tuning in. In future episodes, we'll dig into many other features that are coming in ADO.NET Data Services vNext. This was just one feature of the service side. We haven't even touched on how does some of this functionality surface in the client APIs as well. So continue to tune in. Also continue to send in good feedback. Let us know what you want to see, what you want to hear, anything that's good, anything that's bad. And other than that, once again, appreciate your viewership, and stay tuned until next time. Over and out.